Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk podcast. The Let's Talk podcast is part of the Edify podcast network, where you get the best in Christian podcasts the world over. It is also at the Let's Talk podcast where we have conversations through Christ's eyes. My name is Stanley Kabuka, and it's Easter weekend, and so the series that we have been going through, the series on suffering, will take a break and we'll resume the next weekend. But for this weekend, we're going to look at Easter. We're going to talk about Easter. What is Easter all about? Is it just about having fun, going and visiting family? What is the content of Easter? Again, my name is Stanley Kabuka, and I have my co-hosts.
Thank you, Stanley. My name is Maka Rudy. I am happy to be here today. I am not Maka Rudy. I am Steve Waithaka. Thank you, Stanley, indeed, for having me. I am honored, I am grateful, and I can't wait. Yes.
Yeah, so we don't have Maka Rudy for this episode. Maka Rudy has traveled home for some commitments, but hopefully he will be able to join us in the next episode. So, Steve-O, how have you been?
I've been doing good. Yes, nimekuwa poa, relaxing, enjoying life, and continually growing in the aspects and the sectors of my life that I would like to grow in, and I'm grateful, eternally grateful.
Ah, thank you, Steve-O. Perhaps, Steve-O, you could also tell us what are the things that you like doing, man, the food that you like most, you know, stuff like that.
Hey, what I like doing? I like being a guest at podcasts. What else do I like doing? I love visiting friends. I think that is my current love. It's just visiting and enjoying time with family and friends. Yes. Chakula, eat everything and anything. Yes. I don't have specifics. For as long as it has meat, I just love food. Yes.
What about perhaps your exploits in acting, media, you know?
Oh, yes. I do act. I write. I have performed a few times spoken word. I write scripts and plays and poetry, among other things. What else do I do? I think that is my major thing. And I'm a student, obviously, in the Technical University of Kenya, pursuing IT. So I'm also interested in that field of study. Yes.
Thank you. I think I have come across your blog, right? Man, you are an incredible writer, Manzi.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've gone through it, and man, you. Yeah, man. I don't know what to say, man. What inspires you to write? Or do you still write? Do you still write?
Well, I still want to write. Writing itself is proving to be to be difficult with school and everything. But yes, what inspires me to write? I think initially it started with problems. Writing was a way of just penning down my issues, my thoughts, and all those things. It was, I used to call it my therapy at a certain point, which is cliche when I think of it, but I enjoyed writing. When I was disappointed, when I was heartbroken, I just used to write things down, and then I post them, and people were like, okay. And then slowly by slowly, an interest grew in other areas, short stories and scripts, and took CU actually helped me actually realize, oh, I can do other things with my writing. But I enjoy writing, and the word, the logos, I don't know. There's a way in which words also impact our lives, the same way scripture does. There's just something. I'm not saying mine is divine inspiration. There's just something about words and their essence and their place in life.
Thank you. I think I also started writing for the same reason. I think just going through life and the uncertainties of life, the perplexities of life, the dangers and toils, disappointments and hurts. I just started writing. I just started writing, continued to write. And then actually I started writing poems and then it morphed into writing stories. I really used to follow guys like Biko.
Biko Zulu.
Yes.
Ah.
And Magunga.
Yes, yes. I know Biko. I enjoy Biko's names. Personal profiles.
Uh-huh.
Those are very interesting.
Yeah, so used to actually read a lot of the kind of stories that they had written. Applied to be a member of Bloggers Association of Kenya. I'm serious.
Who
man.
Has not applied?
Yeah, man. Got their logo on my blog.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man. So, have you?
No. I think they charge.
Yeah, it's 1,000 shillings.
I didn't have 1,000.
Okay. How much did you have?
I had maybe 100 or something. And I don't think I was willing to I don't know. It was a risk. I don't know. I didn't want to like pay 1,000 and then I don't commit. I was just afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't pay. Well, maybe I can go back. But I was also interested. You reminded me of something I wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I stopped. Mm-hmm. I stopped reading the articles because of the stand and sentiments on the Christian gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for that reason I do not read the articles at all. Yeah, but that's beside the point. We are not talking here about writing and Bloggers Associations of Kenya and that stuff. We're here to talk about Easter.
Yes.
Right, and we are in the Easter weekend, right?
Yes, we are.
And there are plans. You can see advertisements on holidays. You know, it's Easter holidays and guys are going to see family, guys are traveling abroad and stuff. Maybe just to ask, Steve, what are you planning for Easter?
Easter? My plans for Easter?
Yeah.
I believe it is to go for the planned... what are my plans for Easter? To attend that mission. I think that is my initial plan. I didn't even know it was the Easter weekend. I was like, oh, it's Easter. I was like, okay, I just spent it in Syokimau. Yeah, that is my current plan. But I don't think I had, before that, I don't think I had like major plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I wasn't at home or any other thing had not come up, just relax maybe. Yeah, I don't have major plans.
Okay, so while people would use this time as any other holiday to just hang around, perhaps with family, it's a long weekend, stretching, I think, from Friday all the way to Tuesday, around that time, and this is like any other holiday for so many people. But Steve, what does Easter mean to a Christian? What does this period mean to a Christian?
Easter is a what? Is it a holiday? Can we say Easter is a holiday? But it is a holiday. But from the cracks from the initial mini Easter was, it was a time of remembrance. It marked the resurrection of Christ. And Easter, I believe it starts Good Friday, then Easter. Is it Easter Sunday or Easter Monday? I'm not really certain. But it just marks the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so for the believer, it should mean a lot of things. I think if you were to talk about that, it will maybe last forever. It should mean quite a number of things. And as we were sharing earlier before the podcast, it is about death. And before I even say anything, Stanley, are you afraid of dying?
Well, I get to ask the question. Okay. Am I afraid of dying? I think no. I think no, because, we have had a conversation before we got into this episode, and I think from that and just seeing what this life is all about and the sufferings and the toils and the anguish and the pain. Mm-hmm. We just want to say, like what Paul said, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Mm-hmm. He says that it is better. Mm-hmm. I would prefer to depart and be with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just feel like I need to go home and just be with the Lord, where all of these things shall finally have passed.
Mm-hmm.
Christ will make all things right again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if this tent, this body, wastes away, let me just find it. It says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed,
mm-hmm.
we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, mm-hmm. am I afraid to die?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes and not really.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the consolation is that finally it'll be home.
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid to die?
I think we share the same sentiment. Yes and no. The fear of death is quite a major thing. And for me, I remember my first encounter
mm-hmm.
with death. I did not die. But we had a neighbor, a very good friend. He was you know, he's nice. He was a very nice father, nice man, and all of a sudden he just died.
All of a sudden,
not all of a sudden. Okay, he was killed. So that was, let me, if I can remember, that is my first encounter with death in that sense, whereby someone I knew actually died. And I did not know how to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come and reflect on Easter, we see Christ confronting death on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days later,
yep.
after a lot of things have happened, I think, I don't know if the disciples are still hiding in the house and everything has happened,
mm-hmm.
we see Christ rise again.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is somewhere crying, and then Christ comes and asks him, Anamuliza, why are you crying? Then Mary tells him, if you have taken him, niambia kwenye memweka, mimi nimwende. That is somewhere in John 20. And then Christ calls Mary, and then Mary realizes, oh my God, this is the risen Christ. And Mary rejoices in him. She calls Christ Rabbi, Rabboni, teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I get to reflect on Easter, it is a time of rejoicing that indeed Christ has overcome death. And for the believer, the fear of death should. And because, let me say, because Christ overcame, we mm-hmm. too are able to overcome. Just that his perfect love that was signified in the cross has driven out that fear of death. And it is a time of rejoicing, also proving that Christ is indeed the Son of God.
Yeah.
Because if he is to be the Son of God, he would rise again, and the prophecies are fulfilled and all these things. And so for the believer, aside from joying and finding hope and assurance in the risen Christ, 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 3 somewhere,
mm-hmm.
talks of praise to the God
Father of our Lord Jesus
Christ.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes on to say he has given us, out of his mercy, he has given us a new birth,
mm-hmm.
Because of the resurrection of Christ. And mm-hmm. so a living hope, actually.
Yeah.
It mentions a living hope. And so in the resurrected Christ, as you're saying, as you're talking about writing,
mm-hmm.
we pass through all these things, the griefs, the trials, and the pitfalls of life, and we are discouraged, but when we look at Christ, we get to see a living hope in mm-hmm. Christ,
mm-hmm.
whereby we not only rejoice in Christ, but rejoice in his resurrection rather, but we also get to have a firm foundation that our hope is not dead,
mm-hmm.
that Christ rose again after 3 days. He overcame death, and death has no power, death has no sting.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the believer, it can mean a lot of things, and those, I think, are a few things that have really impacted and in my reflections and on Easter, on his death and on his resurrection, and obviously on the love of God. The reason Christ came on earth was so that he could reconcile. The reason God sent Christ on earth was that he could reconcile man to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And for Christ to die on that cross out of love, it actually motivates me and inspires me to express that same kind of love, to love as Christ loved, to live as Christ lived. And I think it is in John, 1 John rather, it says, and this is how we know what love is, that Christ died for us,
mm-hmm.
or something along those lines. I can't remember very well. And so it is a challenge for the believer to rejoice, to have hope that is alive, and to understand the love of God, and to desire to express that same kind of love to their brother, their sister, and a stranger. I believe that is what Easter means. Yeah, it should mean.
Thank you. I think if you'd ask me what Easter means to a Christian, I think I would say it means the world to a Christian. It means the world because of what our state is, what our state was before Christ came, right? We know that God made us. He made us to fellowship with him. We belong to him, right? We are fully accountable to him, right? And we sinned, right? If you read Romans 5, it talks about the first Adam and how on account of his sin, maybe just to read Romans 5 from 12, it says, I'm reading from the ESV. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning is not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. All right? And so we have, we on account of Adam, who was our representative, we have all sinned. Right? And if you go a couple of chapters back in Romans 3, we are, it's a very explicit, very clear, truth and fact that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None seeks after God. And so this brings a conundrum, because we know that God is holy. We know that God is righteous and he is just. So if that is the case, then there is an issue here. There is a problem, because God is holy and he is just, then he demands a rightful punishment on account of our sin against him, right? So there is a dilemma here, because God is just and he will not acquit anyone. He will not let anyone sinful, ungodly, to just walk scot-free, right? And here we have sinned. So we are faced with this conundrum here. How shall man, sinful man, be reconciled unto God, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Steve-O, this dilemma.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Do you think we think about it a lot in terms of in the Christian cycles, and even when we are looking at Easter, this conundrum that we have sinned against a holy God, and his justice demands that punishment is actually meted on those who have sinned against him. Do you think we think a lot and ponder about this as much as we should?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but for myself, not really that much. But this takes me back to the day of Pentecost.
Yeah. Sorry.
Peter is addressing a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The tongues of fire have already come on the disciples. They're speaking in tongues and everything. And he begins narrating from Joel. He's interpreting Old Testament scripture, explaining its fulfillment. And then now, as he's addressing the crowd that is there with him, the Jews that had come to attend the Pentecost, he starts, he he starts telling them that you crucified Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It is the let me just go back there.
Yeah.
It is men of Israel, I believe, is what he says. Jesus was accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs,
mm-hmm.
which God did among you through him. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and full knowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes on to also explain on on David and what he said about Christ sitting at the right hand of God. And after that mighty proclamation,
mm-hmm.
we are told that the message that Peter gave to them cut them to the heart.
Yeah.
And their response was in what they responded with was, what shall we do?
Yeah.
And I think when we get to look at the cross, when we get to look at this season of Easter,
mm-hmm.
we should have a similar response of a broken heart mm-hmm. and of a repentant heart, whereby it is our sins that put Christ on that cross.
Yeah.
And it is like the very nails
mm-hmm.
that nailed him to that cross
mm-hmm.
Was because of us and our sin. And when we get to reflect and to look at the cross of Christ, we not only see a painting of God's love,
mm-hmm.
but you also see that that was necessitated by our sin. And so, to your question, how are we? What was your question again?
Think about this thing mm-hmm. with the gravity that it actually mm-hmm. deserves?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say I didn't, but having read Peter's address and just getting to spend time with scripture, I believe the more you interact with Christ, the more you interact with your sin, and you just get to realize the wretchedness of man and of myself, the gravity really just comes in. The more I get to interact with scripture and just get to see my past sins, my current failings and shortcomings,
mm-hmm.
and the gravity with time, even as we look and ponder on the cross, it grows, gravity grows.
Yeah, actually, I think we do not really ponder
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
the holiness of God,
mm-hmm.
the thrice holy God,
mm-hmm.
and the sinfulness of our sin, right? It kind of escapes our mind, or mm-hmm. maybe we just try to push it away because we think it's too negative. Because
yeah.
most of the time you'd hear people say, oh, God is love, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
but we kind of don't take a step back and ask,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what does his love look like
yes.
exactly?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, God's attributes are not kind of independent. Like he is, there's a time he is love
mm-hmm.
and then there's a time he is just,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
No, it's
holistic.
Yeah, it's holistic. It's they all work in tandem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that the God who is love, the God who demands justice.
Mm.
It's the God who is holy. It's the God who is good.
Yeah.
Right? So if God would not punish sin, then he would cease to be the God of love. Or he would cease to be a faithful God, or would cease to be a good God. And so he does this. What happens on the cross is that Christ takes our place. The substitutionary atonement. He takes our place. Right? So that the wrath of God, the justice of God is then put on him, and then we who put our trust in him then receive mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So that at the cross we have justice and mercy embracing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And the words of the hymn writer Isaac Watts just capture this. It says that how sad our state by nature is. Right?
Can you sing it?
Not really. I can read it out.
Okay.
How sad our state by nature is. Our sin, how deep it stains.
Mm.
And Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. But there's a voice of sovereign grace, sounds from the sacred word, "Ho ye despairing sinners, come and trust upon the Lord."
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
So I would say that Easter means the whole world
mm-hmm.
to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
To the believer, it is a joy. It is a joy because of what Christ has accomplished on their stead. For the unbeliever, it is a call for them to put their trust in Christ, to abandon all their works, to abandon all their trust on other things, and to run to Christ, right? And as Christ was on that cross, he said the words, "It is finished," right? He said the words, "It is finished."
Yes.
What significance has this very few words, "It is finished"?
Mm-hmm. It is finished.
Imeisha. Yes. Imeisha.
Where are Imeisha? I am taken back to the book of Mark. I believe it is in chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere at the beginning of his ministry, Christ is, chapter 2 verse 13, if I'm not wrong, Christ is at the lake. Mm-hmm. And then people gather around him. He starts to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he's walking, he meets Levi, mm-hmm. or Levi, however you may want to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells him, "Follow me." Levi stands up, follows Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So later that day, he has a meal with Levi at his house. And then he's a tax collector. So tax collectors come, and seen as in quotes, as it is written in Mark, also attend. So the Pharisees see him, and then they're like, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" You know, they believed that they were separationists. They used mm-hmm. to separate themselves from everyone. They were with God, and everyone else was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like wondering, why is this teacher eating with sinners? And then Christ had what they had to say, what they had asked, and he responded with, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor,
mm-hmm.
but the sick."
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "I have not come to call the righteous,
mm-hmm.
but the sinners." So we see at the beginning of Christ's ministry,
mm-hmm.
He identifies with the people he came for. Mm-hmm. Christ came to seek and to save the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, he identifies with the sinners, and he responds with, "He had come to call those who are sinners, not those who need no repentance
mm-hmm.
or anything." And that is, I think, why there is a lot of joy in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so now at the end, he utters the words, "It is finished." And so I think for the sinner, what "it is finished" means is, I believe it is reconciliation with God. As you had put it, it means the whole world to the sinner when he gets to understand that out of his belief in Christ Jesus and in the resurrected Christ, that he is at peace with God finally.
Mm.
And the wrath you have been talking about, the just wrath
mm-hmm.
of God, is no longer, he will no longer face it, not because of anything else,
mm-hmm.
but because of Christ's work on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so the words "it is finished" inspire and bring hope to the sinner, whereby when he understands the magnitude and the gravity of what Christ did on that cross,
mm-hmm.
that he no longer is alienated with God, that he can become a child of God, that he or she can become a fellow citizen of God's household.
Yeah.
And that Christ has broken that dividing wall of hostility mm-hmm. on the cross. So indeed, it is finished for the believer, and they are able to be reconciled with God. And I believe it is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm not very sure where mm-hmm. he says, but he who knew no sin.
It's 2 Corinthians, 5:7. Yes. It's 5:21.
5:21.
Yeah.
Yes, him who knew no sin
became sin.
So that
we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So indeed, it is finished, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Imeisha. But when you believe in God, we are able to become his righteousness and regain an identity from that.
Indeed, it's true. Just as you're talking about us being alienated from God and how Christ came to save sinners,
mm-hmm.
he did not come to save the righteous.
Yes.
Righteous in I'm using air quotes here, right? Actually,
mm-hmm.
none is righteous. Yes. The Pharisees were not righteous,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They believed in their righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul in Philippians 3, he says that he may be found,
mm-hmm.
not having his righteousness,
yes.
but righteousness from God that is by faith, right?
Yes.
So even the Pharisees were not trusting in the righteousness of God. They're trusting in their righteousness, right?
Yes.
So Christ is actually is calling us through this, through his death and resurrection and his perfect life. Actually, we have to remember that he lived a perfect life. He was without sin. Right, it's important to acknowledge the fact that Christ lived a perfect life.
Yes.
Right. So that he would be, as Romans 3 would tell us, just the just and justifier
mm-hmm.
of those who are the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you're talking about alienation, Colossians chapter 1:21 says, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil things,
yes.
he has now reconciled in his body of flesh
mm-hmm.
by death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him."
Mm-hmm.
What joy for the one who has put his faith in Christ,
mm-hmm.
that before a holy God, mm-hmm. On account of what Christ has accomplished and him believing in that work, he is presented holy, blameless, and above reproach in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And just to read what Paul Washer writes concerning the divine dilemma in the mm-hmm. gospel, he says that one of the greatest affirmations of Scripture is that nothing is impossible for God.
Mm-hmm.
This truth is most clearly revealed in the manner which God contrived to maintain his righteous character while pardoning sinful man. God became a man, bore the sins of his people upon the cross, and suffered the divine judgment that was decreed against them. By his suffering and death in the place of his people, God satisfied the demands of his own justice against them and appeased his own wrath toward them, so that his mercy toward them might be perfectly consistent
mm-hmm.
with his righteousness. Mm-hmm. That is indeed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is indeed what we ponder
yes.
during Easter, right?
Mm-hmm.
What Christ, his incarnation, first of all,
mm-hmm.
because he came, became a man,
mm-hmm.
lived a perfect life, went upon that cross, died on our stead, took upon our sins, so that as we put our faith in him, we are justified, we have peace with God the Father, we are reconciled back to him, we are brought into the same household with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
right? We who are not God's people are now God's
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we come to an end, Steve,
yes.
what would be your remarks, what would be your plea, your solemn plea to someone out there who has not yet abandoned his faith in other things, his faith in self-righteousness, and has not yet run to Christ? What would you tell them?
Listen, eh? What would I tell them?
Yep.
To the unbeliever.
Yeah.
You know, so Christ had an unbelieving disciple. by the name of Thomas, and if I was to tell them something specifically, but the reason for Thomas's lack of belief was because when Christ had appeared,
mm-hmm.
he was not present. So when they tell when he was told, "We have seen the risen Lord," they're like, "Unless I put my finger
mm-hmm.
in his hands and then touch his side where he was pierced, then I will believe." And if I can just go to that text,
mm-hmm.
I believe it is in Luke. And so a week later, after all this has happened,
mm-hmm.
Christ comes back. The disciples are still in the house. I'm not sure if it's in Luke.
Mm-hmm.
But the disciples are still in the house. It's in John, I believe. They're still in the house. The doors are locked. They are fearing the Jews. And then Christ appears the same way he appeared previously.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Peace be with you." He goes to Thomas and then he tells him, "Put your finger here,
mm-hmm.
see my hands,
mm-hmm.
Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And then verse 29, it says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But when he had finally touched Christ, the response of Thomas was, my Lord and my God. And so I believe for the non-believer, for the unbeliever, we should really respond in a out of reverence and out of fear of God, because what is the alternative, you know? What is the alternative? What is, if justice is to be done upon your sins and upon everything that you have done, it is such a hopeless. Living without a God and without hope in this world is devastating, and it is a state of restlessness of the heart. So just tell them that in Christ there is hope, in Christ there is the fullness of joy, and in Christ it means the whole world, as you put it.
And what would you say to a believer who has already trusted in Christ, as they think through and ponder through this period we call Easter? What would be your remarks to a believer?
My remarks to a believer?
Yeah.
It would be that their hope is in a living Christ, as we have been able to see in 1 Peter, and as we have been able to discuss, as we've been discussing all through, we are brought to the awareness when we gaze at the cross, we are brought to the awareness of the gravity of our sin. And so to the believer, I believe it is to get in touch with our spiritual life, to get in touch with our actions, our deeds, our thoughts, and everything that revolves around us, and just to realize just the weight, the manner of love, God's wrath satisfied. Just to, as somebody put it, to preach the gospel to themselves each and every day. So that awareness, you know, even in Paul's letters, he tells them, I'm writing this to remind you. I'm writing this to remind you. Let us just remind ourselves of the cross, even as we reflect on Easter, to just remind ourselves of what he did and why he did it, and God's love and his wrath satisfied. We should continually remind ourselves of that, and then from that we'll get an awareness and a grasp of who God is, and our love for him will indeed grow more and deeper.
Amen. Thank you. My final remarks would be to the unbeliever, flee to Christ. Run to Christ, as Charles Wesley would say. What does he say? Just flee to Christ, man. Flee to Christ. To the believer, oh, rejoice. Preach the gospel to yourself. Oh, what joy do you have? And lastly, to finish with the words of Charles Wesley, in his hymn, indeed, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me whom to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? He left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. And lastly, that that fourth stanza, long my imprisoned spirit lay, first bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus, all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Steve, for joining us. It has been great having you around. Hoping to have you another time, right?
Thank you as well. I am happy and pleased to be here. And I want to say, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, thank you indeed for having me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the believer, rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rejoice and find something to do for God. Thank you for having me again. I think I'll keep on saying that until he stops recording. But yeah, I am glad that you've been able to share,
mm-hmm.
you've been able to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the more we walk with God, the more he conforms us to mm-hmm. his likeness, to mm-hmm. the likeness of his son,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you so much, listeners. That has been Easter for you. So go ahead and rejoice. Go ahead and preach the gospel for what Christ has accomplished on our stead. So next weekend, we are continuing the series on suffering. Make sure to have a listen. You can find the Let's Talk podcast on Edify and on your favorite podcasting app. So I guess we'll see you in the next episode. What do we tell our listeners?
Bye! Bye.